This is the What About Stories podcast, hosted by Brandon Prowse and Elizabeth Suggs.
Welcome to What About Stories podcast. I'm Liz.
And I'm Brandon. This is a podcast that centers around storytelling in all different forms, whether it's books, film, TV, video games, doesn't matter. We're going to talk about what we like about a story and what makes it work.
Yeah, because it's not just, you know, the visuals or like the marketing or the, even the author. It's really, we want to focus on the writing itself.
Character development. Plot points, tropes, yeah. Doesn't matter. We're going to do it.
Yes, exactly. Why you should care about us and our credibility? Well, for me, I am a leader in the writing community. I host a few groups and I do a lot of writing workshops. Those groups are also in the writing area. Currently, I'm also starting a publishing business and I'm putting together two different books for publication. Yeah, so.
And I am a freelance writer. I've done it for a while.
Yeah, a long time.
Yeah, done lots of, don't want to talk about, but I've done a bunch of freelance writing. I've been working on a novel or two for a while, and Liz and I are working on a short story series together. So we've got some things going.
Yes. And for today, I think we want to talk about Stephen King's The Stand.
Yeah, Stephen King's The Stand.
Oh, what a wonderful subject.
Yeah, for those who are not aware, I imagine everyone knows who Stephen King is.
Sure. But like, just in case.
But for if you do not know, he is an author who has published over 60 novels. Every single one is a bestseller. Over 200 novels.
Which that's very surprising to me.
Like, it's actually quite astonishing.
Like Okay, we're going to get into this later. But before we get too far into it, let's talk about some like of our books, like what books we kind of like, so you can kind of, you as the listener, can gauge off of what, if our opinion really actually matters. For me, I love anything H.P. Lovecraft. My favorite of H.P. Lovecraft, though, is one of his lesser known works, The Outsider, not to be confused with The Outsider from Stephen King. Like, no, H.P. Lovecraft's The Outsider, Dracula, and anything psychologically horror.
You stole the words right from my mouth.
Oh, wow.
I'm also a huge Lovecraft fan. I think actually Liz and I became friends originally because of our love for Lovecraft.
Yeah.
I love The Color Out of Space.
It's a sad book. That's one of his, like, I know it's not supposed to, like, okay, it just, I, that one makes me sad.
That was the first story I ever read where I was actually terrified.
Yeah, but I just don't
I slept with a nightlight that night as an adult.
Yeah, I just don't like it. Animals or children getting hurt. It really bothers me on a, I just don't like it, even in horror. And I know horror is supposed to like mess you up.
Yeah, horror is supposed to mess you up. And speaking of horror, Stephen King is widely regarded as the master of horror.
Yeah, but I'm just going to say this right now. I don't like him.
She's not the biggest fan.
I do feel like he has some really good movies, but I feel like it's because the director put their own good spin on it.
See, that's the thing is, for every good Stephen King movie there's four or five really, really bad ones.
Yeah.
You know?
No, but I agree. Because, like, okay, one of the ones that really sticks out at me is The Cell. Okay? If anyone has not read, like, it literally is phones bringing, like, you become a zombie because of phones. It's dumb. It's so
is that
dumb.
A Stephen King one?
Yes, it's a Stephen King one. Like, it's horrible.
He's got a lot of good stuff, and he's got a lot of really schlocky stuff.
Schlocky.
You know?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
when Stephen King is good, he's amazing.
Sure.
And when he's bad, he's embarrassing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And, okay, so The Stand, though.
The Stand is widely regarded as his best book.
Okay, why don't you like give us like a rundown of the story?
Okay, so The Stand was originally published in the 1970s. I can't remember which of his novels it was, but it was one of his first ones. And it was originally...
I didn't know that The Stand was one of his first ones.
It was. And it was originally so long that the printing presses, they couldn't actually print it. It was too thick. So they had him cut out over 100,000 words.
Oh my God, just imagine, like, he's already long-winded. I can't even imagine what his original
It's crazy.
Piece was. That would have been, tortured.
Well, so then what happened in the 90s, when he was ultra-famous, he basically, he he took all the cutout content and put it back in.
Oh, no.
And that's this copy I have right here. It says, for the first time, complete and uncut. And that's because this is the full version of the story, which is an additional 100,000+ words in length.
If you can't see me right now, I'm actually shaking my head and rolling my eyes.
Yeah.
This is not good.
Yeah.
This is not
good. So we both read The Stand.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I have to say this right now. I didn't finish it.
You did not finish it?
I couldn't finish it. Oh. It's like all of Stephen King's books. I've only finished Carrie.
Carrie's so short, too.
Yeah, exactly. Well, but the thing is, and I didn't like that one because I like chapters. Because I have slight ADHD or ADD. I don't know. It's undiagnosed. But I have a slightness of one of those. And I need some kind of thing to ground me, like in the sense of like, if I have a chapter, I can read so many chapters and feel like I accomplished something. Or if I write, I have to write so many, like I have to finish this chapter that I'm writing. Like it always is like a chapter or several chapters, but if there are no chapters, I have nothing to gauge it on. And it's very jarring to me.
Yeah.
So I'm glad he didn't do that in The Stand.
He has this thing where he does chapters and then he breaks the chapters out by numbers. So it's like they're broken into sections. So it'll be like chapter one, section one, section two, section three.
Which is, honestly, I'd still prefer that over
I actually, none. Yeah, I like that structure. Yeah. That's how I actually do it. So when I first started reading Stephen King, I was like, hey.
You're like in love.
I was like, hey, maybe this guy and I have something in common.
Yeah, okay. And I know everyone loves him. I feel like so many people in the writing community would think I am... Or do think, when I voice my opinion, I'm crazy because I don't like him. But I think that his stories are good. I do think he has good stories. I think he has really good ideas. When he has a good idea, or when he has an idea, it's very well made, right? And I think that, at least for the books that I've read, because I've read a few of his, maybe like only 5 or 6 of his books.
That's a lot, though. When he has 60 books out, that's 10% of his books.
Yeah, sure. But the thing is, every time that I've read one of his stories, even Carrie, kind of, but you notice, like, there's this really strong start. It's a really strong start, and it gets to the middle, and then you're going to get fatigued. And you're like, wow, we're just repeating the same stuff. Like, a lot of the characters I didn't care about are, like, gone or doing something else, and I'm reading something about some character I don't care about, and I had to continue reading this for another 500 pages or I could just stop.
He's got Robert Jordan in the Wheel of Time syndrome, where he likes to rant and ramble and introduce
He's
other
a
things.
Pantser.
Yeah, he is. And that's a valid criticism. Did you see the new It movie?
No. I've seen the first one. I haven't seen the second one.
The second one,
which I will be seeing. I'm not against watching his shows, and I'm not against trying to read his stories. I just get, and the weird thing is you're talking to a lady who like can read Moby Dick. So it's like
Dick is like one of the slowest novels
ever. It's the most long-winded, but I feel like it's different though. Like his characters. Anyway, we'll talk about it. You continue
yes.
on.
No, so I get it. Too off the, of what I'm talking about. The fun thing about the new movie It. People didn't like it that much. I did.
Oh, really?
As someone who read the novel, I actually enjoyed the movie. But there's a running gag in the new film where all the characters joke about how...
Spoil too much.
I'm not going to spoil it. Okay, so one of the characters is an author. And everyone is constantly accusing him that he doesn't know how to finish a story. Because that's a long-running criticism of Stephen King's work.
And a lot of authors are like that. Too.
Yeah, and you know what? For what it's worth, with Stephen King, I mostly agree with that, actually. His Dark Tower series, I absolutely adore. Yeah. But the third book literally does not have an ending. It just cuts off. And then the fourth book begins, like, mid-sentence of the third book.
No, that's horrible. That is horrible.
Yeah, and then he writes an author's note. He's like, I'm sorry it ended this way. There was no other way to end it.
There are so many ways to end things.
And then there was like a 4-year wait between books, so people were just stuck waiting.
At least it's not like Name of the Wind.
Oh, yeah.
At least Game of Thrones.
George R. R. Martin or...
Patrick Rothfuss.
Yeah, I can't say his last name.
Rothfuss, I think.
Rothfuss.
He's great, though.
Anyway, so The Stand.
Yes. Okay, Okay, one thing, though, I do want to say about not finishing books, or not finishing stories. There is a technique with ending a story that is really powerful, and because I've never finished any of Stephen King's books, I've only finished his movies, so hopefully his movies, the endings are similar to the books, but it seems like, take for instance The Shining, the guy, he ends up being buried in the snow, right? And like everyone's dead. And so like that's a conclusion, but at the same time, it's not, there's still this possibility of something else happening because that place is still a business. That place is still, will still get opened up, right? The building that they stayed in for like the winter, and it might happen again. And the strongest endings are the ones that people keep talking about are the ones that could have another story to happen. Like they've ended, but they haven't actually ended, and they're like, you know, who knows what could happen. So, I mean, is that what happens with The Stand?
It's actually really interesting that you bring up The Shining as an example, because the novel and the book are completely different. And Stephen King has spent his entire career just bashing the film.
Man, I love the film.
Oh, me too. So Stephen King's opinion on his own films does not matter. The man hated The Shining, but liked the Dark Tower film, which Stephen King has said the Dark Tower is his magnum opus. It's his greatest achievement. No. And the movie was just, I can't even describe to you how heartbreaking it was to watch. But The Shining, he hates Stanley Kubrick's The Shining so much, he actually funded his own version of the film.
What?
Yeah, and there's ending.
Another film?
There is. It was a direct TV film, and it was horrible. Stephen King wrote the actual script, but the ending of the book and the ending of the film are very different, because it's funny that you bring up that the hotel stays open for business, because in the book, it actually burns down.
Dang it. All of that example just like it burned with
I know, I'm sorry to do that to you.
But that's a thing, apparently. So maybe that's why people talk about the movie more than the book.
Yeah, well, the novel is actually quite lovely. It's very different.
I will read that one. I will try to read it. Yeah, I do like to challenge myself. Yeah, I have a problem. I've only read 70% of my books. I have like over
that's
almost
more than me.
I have almost 400 books, and I have a problem.
Yeah, I have an issue where I start a book and I'm like, this is a really good book, but now I need to start this book, and I'm going to read them both at the same time. And on Mondays I'll read this, and on Tuesdays I'll read that. But now I need to start this also, so I'll read this on Wednesdays, and so I'll be reading four books at once. And then I get overwhelmed and I quit.
Oh my! I stick to my books.
Don't do that.
Yeah, I stick to my books. I like to finish them, but sometimes if it takes me a really long time to finish a book, I either like get really long, like I get bored of the story, or I pretty much have to just finish it all at once. So I'll just like spend an entire day just finishing the book, because I'm like, oh my God, I need this book to be done.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so I do get my books done, but sometimes I get busy and I don't. But I feel like it's great to read at night and have like a lunchtime, just a break and read.
I like to just read at any chance I get. I'm always reading.
Yeah. It's good to have a routine. It's just like writing. You need a routine or you're never going to get stuff done.
It is true. It is very similar. And it's hard to read and write, like, if you're doing both, which I always am. So it's hard to make time. Do I want to read today or do I want to write?
No, see, I do both every day.
But you're a pro, though.
Sure.
Anyways,
but
The Stand.
Yeah, I think that with The Stand, tell us. You didn't even finish telling
it. I know. Sorry, we got a little sidetracked right there.
Yeah, I got it.
So yeah, The Stand, like I said, it was republished in the 1990s as the complete and uncut edition. Which, by the way, if you are going to read The Stand and haven't, you need to read the complete and uncut edition.
What? But you just said that it was like useless. Like they couldn't even. It's like a ramble of 100,000 words.
No, so here's the thing. Most Stephen King novels are like that. Let me backtrack a little. The Stand is widely regarded, for those who do not know, as Stephen King's best novel. I said earlier that Dark Tower is his magnum opus, but that's Dark Tower as the whole series, all seven novels. Okay. The Stand is his best standalone novel, and I absolutely adored it. It's it's a post-apocalyptic story. Without spoiling anything, what basically happens, the government has a super flu that they're experimenting with, and it accidentally gets out, and that essentially cripples the entire world.
Yeah.
And that is all I will say about the plot for now. But
which I do like. I really do think he starts strong, and like how he goes through different characters and it shows the ways of the sickness happening to these people. I thought it was a refreshing take, even though it was some. It's like a long standing type of story, right? It's like the getting sick and like life dying. But he has a really great way of showing it. And it also wasn't zombies. I don't think it was zombies.
No,
I think
there's no zombies.
Yeah.
There is fantastical elements, but it's very mild for the most part.
And which is nice too, because you usually when you get sickness, it's zombies.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so he had just a really refreshing take, and I really did like that. I really wanted to read. I was reading The Stand, and like when I first started, I was like, this is so good. And then like the middle came around, and I was like, this is not. This is like all the others.
Yeah, see, I don't know. I adored The Stand. I loved his world building. I loved his characters, especially his villain, who ties into... If you had never read Stephen King, he has a reoccurring villain named Randall Flagg, or just the Man in Black. And he appears in several of his novels, including, most prominently, he's one of the main villains in The Dark Tower.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah. Because I only read the first book of Dark Tower. And I didn't finish that one either.
That one's hard. But if you haven't read Dark Tower, please read Dark Tower.
But isn't the Man in Black also in that one?
Yeah, he is a constant figure throughout Dark Tower. And if you've read Dark Tower and you've read The Stand, they go together actually pretty well. Because The Dark Tower is basically a series where Stephen King's characters go to all of his other... novels, and there's a part in Dark Tower where they just go straight directly into The Stand very briefly. Yeah. And I feel like that was a mild spoiler, and I apologize, but it's really cool. So
I feel like anyone that's gonna honestly, if someone's gonna listen to this podcast, unless they're like family or like people who just want to really support us, they're hopefully expecting some sort of spoiler. Like we're talking about specifically The Stand, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think we're being pretty generous on how few spoilers we're actually giving.
That's true.
Yeah. So, sorry, anyone who's getting annoyed.
Spoiler warning.
Too late. But anyway. But, okay, so I want to know how it ends. If you guys don't want to know how it ends, maybe you should skip the next, 5 minutes. But I want you to tell me, how does The Stand end? Or at least not even get in detail. But why don't you tell me if it goes with my theory on the best shows or the books or movies or anything that they end on not a cliffhanger, but just a potential of something could continue to happen.
It actually kind of does.
Okay.
And so the title, The Stand, refers. So now we're in spoiler territory now with this book, but The Stand is basically referencing the ultimate stand between good and evil. If you look at the cover, there's a white warrior fighting a demon.
Yeah, but mine is different. If you Google The Stand, it's like a different
cover. This is the original cover.
Okay, the original cover is like with the white guy, the white dressed guy, and the black
demon.
Yeah, it has like a beak or something, and he also green legs, and and then a black and red cloak.
Yeah, so that scene actually never happens in the book. It's just symbolic of the stand between good and evil. So the ending of the book. So as you read the book, the man in black, Randall Flagg, that I said about earlier, that appears in Dark Tower, he is essentially, the world has died, and he is essentially gathering all the evil people left in the world, and they're meeting in Las Vegas. And all the good people in the world are congregating in, I believe it's Boulder, Colorado.
Because Boulder, Colorado is that's heaven.
Maybe.
I don't know.
And they just go there because, I actually don't remember the reason why they go there. They go there. But, so all of the good people in humanity are in Boulder, Colorado, and all the evil people are in Las Vegas. And they're going to go to war against each other.
Hmm.
The world has ended. There's no technology, so they're just going to go and beat the crap out of each other until one comes out on top. And Randall Flagg is actually a wizard.
Okay.
And he's been using his powers to topple society for a very long time. And so the book ends when there's a select few of the good people. They go to Las Vegas and they're put on trial, and they're going to fight the evilness that is humanity. But then the hand of God literally comes down and blows them all up. The reason why they blow up, there's a nuclear bomb there. It was brought there earlier.
So everyone just died.
Everyone dies. Oh yeah. My God. Except for, well, everyone that's bad died, because only the heroes die as martyrs, but then everyone else is still alive in Boulder, Colorado. They only send a few people. But that's how it ends. And it's actually quite good. I thought it was brilliant. Stephen King actually, he got the idea for the ending. He had been stuck on the stand for months, and he was going to shelve or just toss the whole thing because he could not come up with a resolution for this situation. And then it occurred to him while he was on his morning walk, and he sprinted home to write it down before he forgot it. It works. It probably doesn't sound that good when just bluntly stated like that, but I thought it was actually one of his better endings for an author that does struggle with endings.
It reminds me of kind of when he has the dome. The dome is really weird.
Under the dome. I could not finish Under the Dome.
I couldn't finish it either.
Yeah, I still want to go back and read it, but like it was so slow.
It was so bad. There's one lady. Oh my God.
I only got like 200 pages into it, which is not far when you consider it's like 1,400 pages. It's so long. I got so bored and I had other things to read. I have a love-hate relationship with Stephen King. I like most of the stuff I've read from him, but I think It is such an overrated novel.
See, and I haven't read it. I just watched the movie.
Yeah.
I don't need to see children doing gross things.
Yeah, that one part.
Yeah, I've heard enough. I don't want to hear. I don't want to read it. Like, yeah. That's one thing. Like, I'm not saying that as a writer you should hold back from like violence and sexuality, but you know, yeah, you should if it's about kids. Like, I'm just gonna say that. Like, I think that's gross. Like, you should just like kids and animals, just like avoid them. Just like pretend that they don't exist in books.
Well, see,
like,
the thing with it as a novel, it just has some of the most. It just has some of the most twisted. Scenes with animals. Like, if you've only seen the movie of It, think of it as like a rated G version of the story. Because it is so twisted and so vile and crude at some parts.
I'm not surprised at all. The movie was scary, but like, no one really died. Like, only one kid really died.
Yeah.
In the first one. I haven't seen the second one, so we're not spoiling that one.
Yeah, I won't say anything. No, but Stephen King as a whole has some very questionable content, which, you know, usually I don't mind. I don't mind a dark story.
Sure, but like when you talk about it for like, just like over and over and over.
Well,
and over.
I'm also a firm believer if you're going to have explicit dark content, it needs to serve a purpose.
Yeah.
You can have it, but if you're just doing it for the sake of it, it becomes a little jarring and frustrating to read, you know, and...
Yeah, and I feel like he did that in Under the Dome when the girl, after she had a rape.
Yeah.
It was just like on and on and on, and I was like, I don't need to hear about this anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah, there are a lot of books that do that, and I feel like we'll probably address that on another episode.
Yeah.
But for the most part, The Stand, I thought, was very good with its content. Like, sure, it was long-winded, and there are very long sections that don't seem to go anywhere, but for some reason, I just found the book so addictive. Like, I loved it. It's like I think it's almost 500,000 words long, and I read the whole thing in almost a week. Less than a week. I could not put it down. I adored it. I wanted to read it again the moment I finished it. And I think it's interesting that you didn't like it, because it's considered one of the, you know, most groundbreaking post-apocalyptic novels, and you love post-apocalyptic.
I know, that's what I like to write. I like to write in post-apocalyptic, dystopian, wasteland, all that. I like to write in that. And, I mean, I'm not saying that, because he has some short stories. So there's this Wastelands book. It has a bunch of short stories from just several different authors. Stephen King's one of them, George R. R. Martin's one of them. And I actually really enjoyed the Stephen King short story, but it was because it was a short story.
Well, you know, like I was saying earlier, he's published 60 novels, but he's published over 200 short stories.
Wow.
And The Shawshank Redemption, which everyone adores, myself included, is
I only watched the movie.
It's actually based off of a short story called Rita Hayworth and the Shawshank Redemption.
See, and I need to read that. Yeah. I'll read it tonight.
Yeah, it's in a... I might have the story if you want to borrow it. I'll check.
Yes. Friends, everyone. Just kidding.
No. Yeah, I adored The Stand. I liked all the characters. I thought the writing was mostly good.
Mostly good. You could just because he does the...
There's just one particular scene that felt really unnecessary for a character's arc, and...
What do you mean?
So, you're going to get into this.
I see.
Yeah, so... Here's a content warning for anyone. There is a scene... Spoilers and content warning if you're sensitive to that.
Yeah, this, definitely.
Sexual content. There is a specific scene in The Stand where a man is holed up in a hotel with another man, and the man forces him to perform oral sex on him while he sticks a gun up his butt.
Ouch.
Yeah, it's weird. It's very long, and it doesn't go anywhere for the characters. Other than establishing that one of them is really twisted, but that was already established.
Yeah.
So it feels kind of pointless.
Feels very forced, almost.
Yeah, very forced. Okay. There's a couple other scenes, but for the most part, I thought The Stand was one of Stephen King's most consistent books. And I say that as someone who's read... I can't claim that I've read a lot of them, but I've read a lot for me. I've read over 10 or 12 or 13 of his books.
And again, that's, you know...
Yeah.
That's, I mean, compared to how many books he actually has.
Yeah.
You finished them.
I did, yeah. I finished all of them except for The Wind Through the Keyhole, which I got halfway through.
Yeah.
And then I had other things to focus on.
But, you had other things to do in your life. Just the way you said that. I just had other things. I needed to finish it and get done. Okay.
No. Yeah, when I was reading The Stand, I was just reading a lot of lists of the greatest post-apocalyptic books, and that's actually why I started it, because it was always number one. And I was so curious what it could be about. And everyone always says it's his best book. And for me, I personally thought it lived up to the hype. So maybe, like, if you, as someone who doesn't like Stephen King, maybe you're not going to like The Stand, even if it's his best novel.
I see. Because it is, it is, like, the best of his.
Yeah, it's much, like, it's kind of more of the same Stephen King. But I thought it was really well-paced, considering the length. Mm-hmm. It gave me almost everything I wanted.
Wow.
And so,
Yeah, so you would give it a good review.
I would, actually, yeah. Yes. I'd recommend it. I know you wouldn't, but...
I'm very torn. Like, I kind of want to read it just to be like, this is why. But two things are going to happen if I do that. One, I'll probably read into the middle and I'll be like, get to the
same point. You're like, this is why I didn't like this book.
Or I'll finish it and be like, man, I could have read, like, all these other stories that I wanted to
read. That's why you gotta get the audiobook.
Yeah, but if I listen to audiobooks, which I do listen to audiobooks, and I think there's nothing wrong with it. I enjoy a lot of audiobooks, and I think they can enhance stories or just give you a different take. But I just have this thing, when I listen to an audiobook, I have to read the book, too.
Like, oh, I do, too, yeah. I can't just listen.
Obviously not at the same time, because I'd get confused, and I read faster than the narrator. But I don't know if that's what you're getting at.
No, yeah. Okay.
But yeah, I'll listen to the audiobook, but then I'll have to read it. And then sometimes if I read the book and I like it enough, I'm like, man, I need to listen to that audiobook. Just because it's like William Hootkin's Moby Dick. It's like, it's beautiful.
I have that one, but I have not listened to it yet.
You need to at least get to the first 20 chapters. That sounds like a lot, but his chapters are...
It's not a lot, considering how long the book is. I've read Moby Dick. I loved it.
Yeah, okay. Queequeg. Okay, we're getting off topic.
Yeah, yeah.
this was a good one. And if you guys have any comments or questions, please feel free to like and share and communicate with us in any way on our, wherever you get your podcasts, or like us on the web. You can tweet to me, Elizabeth A. Suggs, S-S-U-G-G-S, on Twitter. And do you want to say anything?
Yeah, you can tweet at me, at Brandon, B-R-A-N-D-O-N, Prowse, P-R-O-W-S, on Twitter.
And you can do it to both of us, so if you misspell one of us, you can hopefully spell...
Yeah, we'll probably have a Twitter for this podcast eventually.
Yes, but not yet, so you have to just DM us and love us that way. Okay, thank you guys.
All right.
peace.